everyone. Welcome again to Heart. I thank the Lord for another day to do His work. Every day we have to do His work is another blessing. And, you know, the rapture is soon to be. It's going to happen without warning. It's going to happen very soon. I don't know when. But it's got to happen. But every day the Lord gives us to do His work, I thank God for it. Forever is a very long time. And the Lord, His strategy is to, He wants to take as many people with Him. The grace He's given us, we may even be in extended grace. When this grace is over, it's over. Then the judgment of God begins. But God loves His people. Now, I've been talking about how false prophets work. The Lord is exposing what they're capable of doing and how they see things. Their logic is totally opposite to the love of God. When people desire the same things that Lucifer desired when he fell, they do the same things. And they transition themselves back into the world because that's the order that they're running on. When people decide to do things out of vainglory, they're easing themselves back into the world's territory and out of God's counsel. When this process starts, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin. See, Christians, they can sin if they want to, and if you do sin, the Holy Spirit will convict you of it. You'll feel a conviction in your heart, and you run, and you don't want that. You ask the Lord to forgive you, like David used to do. David greatly sinned, but then he asked the Lord to forgive him, and he saw his sin for what it was, and he pleaded with the Lord, said, "Lord, forgive me. I sinned against you," and he did something about it. That's what I believe in doing. All right, when it's like that, then you will live forever. Now, some people plan to sin and then they ask the Lord to forgive them in case he come back quick. Now, that's deceitful. That's not love. That's not honesty. Remember, Jesus told the woman at the well, he's looking for those that worship him in spirit and in truth. All right? If you're sinning and you excuse yourself for a while to enjoy sin and then you come back and say, "Well, Lord, forgive me," that's not working for you. Your heart is going to get calloused, and eventually, you'll be under the bottom of Satan's foot, and his foot will be on your neck instead of your foot on his neck. Everybody who gets involved with sin becomes their master, and the Lord has given us natural examples. You know, I talked about how when you see a fly, the spider catch him in the web and wrap him up. You can't even see what kind of bug he is anymore. You know that he's subdued. He has no more freedom. And when that spider get ready for him, he's going to be his lunch or dinner or breakfast or whatever time of day it is. He's going to belong to that spider. And then there's something even worse than that. There's a dirt dauber. He go out and catch spiders, live spiders. And he put him in the dirt, alive. He sting him where he's paralyzed. And then he lay eggs in him, and the baby dirt daubers eat him from the inside out. Now that's a prolonged misery. God gave us these examples so that we can understand what sin does to us. You're alive and paralyzed, and sin will destroy you from the inside out. All right. When you get set, when you're saved, the Lord saved you from the inside out. Your spirit man is made brand new. You're just like Adam was in the days of the garden. And then you have to decide to receive God's word to grow. That's the same as Adam eating off the tree of life. There was nothing wrong with him. He was gonna live forever anyway. But the tree of life, that was an act of his dedication towards the heart of God's will. and not eaten off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, showed his sincerity towards the Lord. Lord, I trust you. I take you at your word. This fruit may look good, but you told me not to eat it. I'm trusting you. Every day, I'm trusting you. As time goes on, he could have been alive now. Death didn't work in him until he disobeyed the Lord. Now, Jesus died for us. His blood washed our sins away. He rose for our justification. He made us kings and priests. He gave us his authority in the world, in the earth, to use his name. We can stop Satan at our will. We can use all the weapons of our warfare. And then when he graces us with a ministry and the gifts of the Spirit, and we operate in the fruits of the Spirit, all this is given to us to do something with it. There's no excuse for backsliding. We don't have to. The last broadcast we talked about 2 Peter chapter 1, it shows you how to do it. It instructs you how to never fall and to always win in every category. You can breathe. In other words, you are designed to bring the life of God wherever you are. A healing process began in you, and you bring it to the earth for people to see and hear and benefit from. Every problem can be solved biblically. The Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. This means, my friend, that you can believe God on your job to solve the problems there, whether it be employee problems, whether it be a lack of business. You can pray and the angels will help you get more business, and the Holy Spirit will show you how to work as unto the Lord. He will show you how to meet needs that are out there. You know, the blessings always come after serving. See, the logic of serving, washing your brother's foot, washing his feet or her feet, being a blessing to people that you know for a fact they're not doing you right. You work as unto God towards your boss, and as a boss, you protect your employees. You do what's right by them, though they may not do what's right by you. It always works. And then you have the rules of the company. You know, if people just won't do what they're supposed to, you may have to let some people go, demote some people, not promote some people. And the Holy Spirit will give you that kind of wisdom. But remember, he always does things in the frame of redemption. But you can't let people cost you your company. That's not God's will for you. Only either way. If they're not doing you right, you have rights too. You can work somewhere else. You can believe God for better. You can ask God for wisdom. And he'll fill in the blanks that we know not. That's why the Holy Spirit came, to destroy the traps and devices of the devil. Because Satan is against you. He's against your success. He's against your health. He's against the healing process that's working in your heart. He's against you receiving God's word. When I first began, before I got mature enough to study the word every day, while I was still kind of weak in that area, my heart wanted to study, and I wanted to receive God's word. But people always interrupted me until I stopped allowing it to happen. Once I got strong, then I said, Satan, you can't hinder me from studying God's word. And as I developed an appetite for the word, I started growing. And I had my wits about me again. And the satanic tactics that used to work didn't work anymore. And I spoke what I wanted to happen. When the Lord gave me the assignment to study those 15 chapters a day, I vowed to do it. I actually vowed to do more than I actually did. But anyway, I did the 15 chapters, and sometimes I did 21. And it worked. A healing, you know, the healing, it advanced that healing process that began in my heart. instead of reading the scriptures that to get me out of a ditch, I was reading chapters and I got more information and I saw things greater. And it helped me to do combat. It helped me to stand and not fall. It gave me wisdom and insight instead of the deceptive rudiments of this world. I didn't have to suffer as a defeated man anymore. And I started with my greatest weaknesses. I had to kill them first. And at that time, you know, people were on a prosperity kick. They were using the ability to speak God's word to receive the blessings of this life that they wanted. Better jobs, better homes, better cars. A lot of Christians got in debt. Some people, they misused the faith message and took it out and went on a tangent. And God in his great mercy, he blessed them in those days. And they bought cars that were no good, that looked good. They did all kind of things, trying to look the part. And God blessed them anyway. He got us through it. He got us through that. Your ability to use the word, you can have those blessings. Those are not, you know, God didn't say no to those things. But in my life, I don't need a new car, and I'm struggling with temptation. I need to kill the temptation. We'll get the car. We'll get to the car. We'll get to the house. We'll get to all these other things. I had a house, but whatever. I took care of what I need. I believe God for what I needed first. But first of all, before we go any further with the luxuries, with the things I just want, we got to deal with these problems. I got to put Satan's foot under. Satan's neck under my foot. I got to put Satan under my foot first. Let's do the first things first. There's no reason to be prosperous and then turn around and fall. You know, if you don't need a golf membership if you got cancer. You need to kill the cancer first, and then we'll deal with the golf membership or the lake house or whatever it is that you just want. I mean, I prioritized. Some people didn't. And I stood. Some didn't stand. But there's an evil influence out there in the world. And it starts with vainglory almost every time. When the way you look becomes more important than the love of God, you got a bigger problem than it. It's not always noticeable, but it's a problem. And this is where it comes from. That last website broadcast, the Lord had me in 2 Peter. And I made it to around verse 13. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit and then go forward. You know, now Peter's about to die. We covered that. And he's showing us what's going on. The Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit was guiding them into all truth. The Holy Spirit guided him to write all this. So, I don't think it'll take too long. Let's just revisit chapter 2. He said in verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now, false prophets are not going to speak right. They're not going to teach right. They're false. They're not going to promote the living ways of Jesus. They're going to use fear tactics. They're going to do things to make them look good and make you not question what they're doing that's wrong. Verse 2 said, "Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." I've seen this happen. I've seen the wrong things put in at high regard and the good things at low regard. Remember this. If you come to someone in the name of the Lord gave you a message to speak, and you're speaking in Jesus' name, honoring the Father. If they reject you because you're speaking that word that the Lord sent you to speak, they're rejecting you. They're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. They're not just rejecting Jesus, they're also rejecting the Father and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. They're grieving the Holy Spirit, denying his lordship, and putting that will first. All right, don't forget that, because many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious ways. They're wrong. They're wrong ways. Evil ways. Self-righteous ways. Because the way of truth should be evil spoken of. And these are the people that are weak and unstable. And, they think this is a man of God. And they're trying to honor God. But when people don't have a good footing, they're not as stable yet. You can tell a baby, you can give a baby poison, they'll drink it. They don't know. These are God's people too. These are not, all right, the false prophets, they were God's people in some cases, and they went astray. And some of the many people that followed their pernicious ways are actually people who love God. Now, some people are wiser, just like the Bereans. They searched the scriptures. They didn't just take the apostles' word for it. They searched the scriptures. They were more noble, which is a very kind way of saying they had more sense. And some people are more dedicated. And when people give you an easy excuse to sin, there's a glamour to it. It's wrong, but I told my children, everything sounds good. Whether they come from Jesus' mouth or Satan's mouth. Because Satan, he dresses it up. You won't drink it if it's not tasty. It's wrong. It's wrong as hell. but you won't drink it if it's not tasty. So he dresses it up, and he knows how to pervert the word. He knows how to pervert things. Hell is very wrong. Hell is destructive. And so is Satan's doctrine, and so is the doctrine of the false prophet. Now, God loves these people. These are people. God's love is so huge. But he has to do something about this problem. He's not going to allow it to come into heaven. He's not going to allow it to kill his people. He's going to do something about it. He doesn't have full authority on the earth. He gave that authority to man. And when man misuses his authority, eventually he'll run out. The laws of sowing and reaping. It's not going to be good for that man. God loves that man. God would rather correct him than judge him. So the Lord sent people to warn him. Now this has been going on. There are some preachers that are true in heart, and they warn people, and the false prophets turn the channel. They get to the point they will not visit a church of a true prophet. Because they have a problem with Jesus, so they have a problem with his prophets too. They associate with prophets that speak what they want to hear. And the devil has corralled them into a club. And some preachers, they're not going to go around unless they have to. But when they are around, the Lord tried to woo them back to the fold, just like he did Solomon when he went astray. Now, I believe Solomon came back because in Ecclesiastes he said, "So I return." So I hope that means that he came back to the Lord. I believe it does. Because he wrote, we have the writing of Ecclesiastes, which is not like Proverbs. This it's a viewpoint from a man who has turned his back on God living in the world. Because he wrote, vanity is vanity. He got to the point where he said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He was not talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about life in the world disconnected from Father God. That's vanity of vanity. So I believe the brother returned. I hope he did. I think I'm right. All right. Now, false prophets are always after something. They didn't leave God because they hated him. They left him because they were after something else. And they fell in love with it more than they fell in love with God. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. They would try to use your abilities to their gain. They make merchandise of the people that are bought by the blood of Jesus. Instead of loving them, they have no, they don't value them. Remember, when there's strife, envy and strife, love goes out the window in the person's heart who allows envy and strife. Because every evil work follows it. A couple, they get mad, one of them wants something else. Or they want something, you know, they get in strife. When that happens, they don't value who they're married to anymore the same way. When you love the world, you're not going to value what's of God anymore. That's going to start waning. All right, and then they get to a point where with feigned words and with lying words, they make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So their damnation's coming right on down the track like a speeding train. It just hadn't hit them yet. It's coming. Especially if they don't turn from their wicked ways, which they probably won't. Verse 4, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, a person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. They were so corrupt, the train came. The flood came, killed them all. And before it started raining, the great deep broke, and the earth became like quicksand, and they sunk, and then it rained, because they were some very wise people. And they were very wicked. And they did evil continually. You know, I'm glad I didn't get to see that world. It was a very terrible, they did the worst of the worst. But thank God for Noah. And people say once saved, always saved, no matter what. If you turn your heart, you'll find out real quick that you walk that. Jesus said, and I got more confidence in him than some preacher. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. They're calling Jesus Lord. These are not Pharisees. Pharisees don't call Jesus Lord. He's talking about people who have gotten saved. They call him Lord. He said, turn from me. I never knew you. You work iniquity. They think they're going to get rewards. There's a YouTube broadcast that everybody need to watch. Everybody need to watch it. Everybody. Even the people who know that you can go to hell. The Ugandan pastor. It's on YouTube. Pull it up. When you watch the YouTube video, the Ugandan pastor, you're going to see what I'm talking about. This man went through something, and he thought he was right with God and was not. And the Lord showed him his sin. Even said that if he had come to get his bride, he would have left him at that time. But this shows us how the Lord showed him through a series of events that he had drifted out of God's kingdom. And when he found out what happened, the Lord sent him to warn people. And it's up to, you know, it's a good, there are many things that have not been taught. The word of God has not gone out correctly in many places. And many people's lives are in jeopardy. Jesus didn't say a few people would come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And he would turn and say, depart from me, I never knew you. He said many. And that scripture, I always remembered it. But there's so much error being taught as truth. And it's easy to believe error. You don't have to. When you trust a lie, when you listen to the word with Satan's twist on it, it's an easy slumber comfort. You don't have to fight. You don't have to resist the enemy. Everything is up to God. You know, it's an easy path. You don't have to do anything. God is desperate after you. You don't have to. You can do what you want and still go to heaven. And that's far from true. You have to consider what the Lord is saying. You have to look at every... When the Lord had me to read chapters, I started seeing things that I had missed out on. I had a good heart. I loved God. I was endeavoring to do right. And I struggled. But when I started receiving the word correctly, my walk got easier and easier. But verse 2 says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And people don't like to be on the wrong side. So when you speak evil of something, it causes even people that wouldn't normally fall for a trap to suffer unnecessarily. And then some of them buy into it and their heart gets hardened. And then they start acting just like the false prophets. And they don't want any, they shun the light of God's word. Now we're going somewhere. All right, I'm going to go back to verse 5. All right. Now the Lord, verse 4, for if God spare not the angels to sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved in judgment. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. All this was done, we can learn from it so that we don't have to suffer their mistakes. The angels were in God's kingdom. God don't make demons. He never made a demon. He made angels. And the demons you fight were once angels. So what you're fighting is high intelligent beings that have turned their heart against God. Because they love the world somewhere. They got sucked in by Satan. They fell. They rebel. And now they're demons. They can't be trusted. Now, if an angel can do it, why not a man? Even people that have tasted of the way of salvation, and then they turn their back on God and run to the world, they can't be trusted either. And that's what Peter is warning us about. Remember, he's about to die. He's an old man now. And he's warning us what's going to happen when the apostles die out. In the height of their ministry, people wouldn't even try this. Because false prophets are sterile. They can't do miracles. Well, they anointed people can work miracles. But anointed people can turn. And that's what the Lord, you know, see, sometimes people go by the miracles and the authority, the things that look good. Jesus said, the people said to Jesus when he turned them away, we work miracles in your name. We cast out demons. He said, turn from me. I never knew you. They turned their heart a long time ago. When you watch the video of the Ugandan pastor, he's going to say the same thing and Jesus is going to say the same thing. But it's in modern times. See, error has been taught so long, people can't tell the difference sometimes. We have to go back biblical. If you operate biblically, you operate correctly. And the Holy Spirit will help you and guide you into all truth. If you've deviated, yield to the Holy Spirit, trust what He's guiding you to do, be tenderhearted towards Him. And the seven manifestations of the Spirit of God will help you get on course again. Alright, this is our example unto those that after should live ungodly and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. This happens when there are many people married to people and they're being vexed because people love the wicked way. There are people that go to church and things that of the worldly things are put in high regard, and it vexes the heart of God's people. It makes them not want to be there. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. All of this is happening. He's delivering the godly out of temptation and reserving the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. And that's about to happen. Verse 10. Now, he loves everybody. But when people draw a line and saying God has to do the same thing, he's not going to let you tear up heaven. He's not going to let me tear up heaven. If I come to him right, then I get to be in his kingdom. If I don't want to be in his kingdom, I can go to hell. Does he love me? Yes. Does he stop loving people that go to hell? No. He died for them. They went because they chose wrong. They love the world more than God. And they are destructive. All of them. It's not personal. It's just the way it is. They attach themselves to a deadly plague.